This is a Pinball News production.
So, welcome to the LTG show. How many people here don't know me? Oh, a few. Okay. Jesus Christ. My name is Lloyd. I've been was born into the industry. I've got, about 57 years of it. I've owned my arcade SS Billiards for just a hair over 44 years. Been helping people online for 20 years, helping them fix pinball machines. Been doing Bay Area Tech Help Desk for 7 or 8 years. Tech support for Jersey Jack Pinball for, 3.5 years or something. And tech support for the Medieval Madness remakes and their future ones for a couple of years. And probably a few other things I'm not recalling. And I've been telling Dave Marston jokes my whole life. Dave, when he was younger and he was in school, his crush, the one that he loved above all others, finally spoke to him one day and she's whispered to him, she said, "Dave, nobody's going to be home tonight. Why don't you come over?" So Dave's all excited. He goes home, showers, shaves, puts on a cologne, fresh condom in a wallet, gets over there, and his crush, his dream girl, was not lying. Nobody was home. Okay, the show's free. We didn't have great material lined up, and I'm only going to tell one Dave Marston joke tonight unless I think of any others. Anyway, to start off, because I've been doing all the tech support, fixing pins and everything else, we do have a limited edition mug tonight, just for this show only. It's the only place it'll be given out. Anybody that's got a really great question, wants to know anything, you get a mug. So who wants to start the show?
What kind of application form do we fill out to get the mug?
Well, you got to give me submit a 2-minute porn video. I've already got yours, Dave. You've got to fill out the questionnaire. You got to be able to write me out a. Well, wait, I can't take a check. Better have $15,000 in cash. But no, Dave asked the first question. Oh, I'm sorry. First, too, I should introduce my friend that's helped me at for a couple of years at shows and stuff, Robert May. He's a young man in pinball, and he is going to be, as time goes by, more and more people are going to recognize and know his name. So, Robert May, without ado, why, say hi to people.
Hello, everybody.
I want to give Dave his first mug. What?
Oh, I said hi, Lloyd's lackey.
Lloyd's lackey.
Hello, Lloyd's chauffeur.
So, have you got any other great questions? Oh, wait. We got one back there. Chris Frame.
The plaque fell off.
Now, I'm going to repeat the questions because my experience in the past with Martin recording them is you don't always hear the questions good on the playback. Chris asked, because I've got an original Medieval Madness, I created a new, I had it before they came out, I was test operator for 19 years, and as opposed to the remakes, the tech support and stuff, the remakes have been rock solid. I mean, there's been a couple little things, I had to replace one or two power supplies, at least that I've dealt with. The Ethernet cable comes down and plugs in the bottom. There's been a few games that come up, no signal and reseat that. I think one or two of the driver boards, and there are three identical driver boards under there, and the next games are going to have just a single driver board in the head. I'm trying to think what else. It's been the majority. I mean, it's really embarrassing. Probably 3/4 of the tech support calls have been, "Where's the back box key?" Now, I even made a video about, yeah, but a lot of these people have never had a new-in-the-box pin. I even had a Hobbit one recently. Guy messaged me on Pinside. He loves his Hobbit and everything, but he says, the keys, they work great in a coin door, but you got to turn it really hard to get in the back box. And if you open a coin door and look around, and if you see a hook there with a key on it, try that one. Yep, that was it. But, I mean, they really knocked it. And, of course, essentially, it's a Medieval Madness pinball. Churchill made the cabinets play fields. Chicago Gaming made the cabinets play field, which is the old Churchill company. You've got under license all the Williams parts on top and bottom. The main thing has been the board differences, but they did a hell of a job. One thing, too, I've seen with them, like I've seen with Stern pins, I've seen with a lot of the Jersey Jack pins, out of the box, the problems have been none or very tiny. I never, in the test years era, I never had a Williams pin. I didn't spend 3-4 days tweaking crap, fixing stuff, and even, things not, they forgot to put in a game, like the ball trough boards or a whole row of lights, and it's really, really amazing the job the companies are doing these days. Want to give Chris his mug?
Sure.
Let's see. I'm going to start in the front, work my way back. Gentleman in the blue shirt.
Yes. It says that you even said your Jersey Jack support. How do you go about learning how to do the support? Because you're not anywhere near those guys. Do you have to go there for like a seminar or a...
Well, I went there for the first year I started. I went out there for 3 days, but not really. You just pick up the phone and start helping.
But how do you know, for the Jersey Jack stuff?
How do you know the right answers?
Yeah.
Oh, I've just blown up more shit than the average person, so the right answers just come over the experience. But, especially like the Wizard of Oz and now the Hobbit, the Hobbit's got more unique assemblies, but like your Wizard of Oz, your basics, your flippers, your pop bumpers, your slingshots, they're Williams parts. I mean, it's a smart move on their part, too. Nothing against your Capcom, DDs, Gottlieb, the Sega Stern, everything else, but a lot of those games were made in less quantities. If you can even find the parts, they're always more expensive because, again, lesser quantities. And so for the Jersey Jack pin down the road, you need any of the common to replace parts. They can be dirt cheap. So you're going to see them games around for a long time. But most of it's basically just common sense. A lot of times you'll see somebody will have, my game's doing this, and do you think it's a ROM or something? They right away jump to the most bizarre, God knows what the hell thing, and just keep it simple. It's usually just something tiny, something simple, unless you got in there and worked on it yourself. I had a guy plug in a Medieval Madness remake header and blew the piss out of all kinds of shit, and he called me up. Well, first his tech called me up, then he called me up and wanted to know what they did. I said, I don't know what the hell you plugged in where. Well, he thought it was our topper, and I was like, no, we don't make a topper. I don't know what you did. And I said, you'll get through it. I know you got to spend a lot of money, and you got a brand new game, and you should be enjoying it, and I'm really sorry, but you will get through it. There isn't a school you can go to. Just call it tuition, and... And I said, until you open it up and see what the hell y'all blew up, that's where you got to start. Wait, just 1 second. Robert, give him a mug. And then the guy in a white shirt right behind him. Yes, sir.
A lot of us miss the heyday when the machines were selling to manufacturers and things like that. For a while. Now that there's other ones coming in, do you think we're going to get back to that greatness? And, like we've been in a long time, you've seen the ebbs and flows and the ups and downs. Do you think we're going to get back to that?
It's kind of hard to say, because you always got like the barcades hopping up and everybody's, pinball's coming back. And then 2-3 years later, when it's closed and gone, everybody's looking for the next Messiah. But, this year's expo, you people are witnesses to something we haven't seen in like 20 years. 3 reveals. So definitely good things are happening. Whether we ever get to the early 90s when you got like 5-6 companies cranking out 100,000 units a year, I don't know. We'll see that. But pinball is definitely stronger than 1999 when Williams closed. Want to give that gentleman a mug, please? Oh, he's got a mug. We're working our way back. We got one other one that was before you guys. Yes, sir.
So recently, I guess you've been putting some improvements to SS Billiards. You got a new floor, I believe, and things. What's next for SS Billiards? What's the next improvements? What's the next changes that you have in mind?
Oh, win a Powerball, grab the dog and go. No, it's always constant. I mean, Chris Lemio, and I owe him a debt of gratitude. He was the one that came up with the idea, and I thought about it through the years, but I didn't really want to do it because I didn't think it'd be successful, and he was more than successful. And it did give me a jump start. It got me to where I was headed, but a lot sooner. The last decade beat me up really bad. The marriage ended, which didn't cost me any more money, but I was bled dry during that period because every time I turned around, her family had some catastrophe I had to bail them out of. Sold some rare stuff, raised some money, recovered the tables. I was going to start working on a rug. Economy goes to shit. Okay, now we're out of stuff to sell and still plugging along, starting to gain some ground. The Hennepin County in 2006 in Minnesota, 2007, just put the nails in a coffin with a no smoke, and my business dropped 90%. I mean, I lost a house, everything. But I mean, the refresh made the things that I was heading to a lot slower, made them happen quicker. And of course, now the things, because with the tech support and stuff, might be getting Stern pins through there in the near future, different things like that. I just keep plowing ahead. That's all I can do. We don't, like some years past, we had the air hockey fad, you had the foosball fad, you had the early video game fad, the video game fad. I don't foresee, you know, something big like that coming along in coin-op. But, you know, myself personally, you know, yeah, we've been steadily moving forward. Up until next year, there's a freeway runs north and south a mile or so west of me. They're going to be closed for a year. Yeah, that'll probably kill me. They were closed here a few years ago for about 3 months, and I wasn't even hitting expenses. So I'm waiting to see what fun that is. But, you know, you don't know until it happens. Wait, we're going to start this side network back that way. Yes, sir?
First, I'd like to say thank you. I was an early adopter.
Well, thank you.
And I also wondered, have you had a chance to see the new system that they're talking about, where, like,
boards? Oh, I love that. Oh, God, do I love that. Swing the monitor over here. Here's our boards. You know, you don't have to slide the playfield up and back. Take the cover off, open it up, and then, of course, you got cables hanging down and this crap and everything else, and inconvenient as all get out to get in there and look at anything. And I saw that in the Hobbit cabin. I said, my God, you can do that? No, not but every game going forward is going to be that way. And it was a hell of an – and, of course, they had investors come in. They've got a lot of key people in the industry are letting be able to, like, you know, do the things they want to do. Like Capcom, the 1 year they were running, they had kind of the rogues industry. It didn't fit in and stuff, but they knew they had problems, and they were kind of letting the guys come up with the stuff. And you saw a lot of innovation. You know, like on a Capcom pin, you don't have GI lighting burning up GI connector stuff. Everything's feature lamps. You know, on a Capcom pin, if you short the high power to the lamp matrix, switch matrix, you know, it comes up, you know, hey, fix this. You don't start blowing up crap right away. We didn't see that again until Pinball 2000. So a lot of the stuff Jersey Jack Pinball has done, and now I'm not discounting Stern. I've just not been inside of a Spike System game. But a lot of the stuff that Jersey Jack has done is, you know, continuing into the future, you know, making it, you know, look prettier inside and making it easier to service if need be, and just doing a damn good job.
Have they told you when you're going to get your hands on one?
Which one?
The new dial.
I don't know when I'll have one personally. I mean, I've already looked at it, and Pat Lawler's going to give me some time. My main concern was not the gameplay. Looking it over, everything else. I wanted to get my nose inside. Like, I talked to our senior vice president earlier today, and he was like that the things that they've changed are the routing, the wiring, the assemblies, everything else that, you know, didn't suspect they were going to have many problems. But my thing was is that when I got somebody calls up, they've maybe never been in a pinball before, so I'm going to need to know. And my main thing is when we were setting them up yesterday, I had my nose in there and everything else, and I'm going to take some pictures, and Pat's going to go over it with me. Because when the calls start coming in, you got to start somewhere to try to help them. You know, as far as when I'll actually have a game in my place, it's kind of hard to say, because they're still changing some of the assemblies and parts and this and that and everything else. So I would suspect, you know, maybe March, April, something, once production starts, I'll probably be seeing one, approximately. But they're, you know, like, it's, the game is still evolving. I mean, they really, you know, set records to have five of them here. And, you can play them and have fun. I love the phone deal. No lie there, you know, because that's what all the kids are into today. And that's going to be interesting to see how that's adapted. Did you get my mug, Rob? What's your question, Randy?
Oh, yeah, sorry. But one is, do you want Todd Tucky to have a white mug or a blue mug?
Todd Tucky, the tattoo guy? Oh, Todd. Better give him one of each. Better give Randy a white mug and a purple mug, or the blue mug. I forgot. I was thinking that Todd Lambrick, the guy with the tattoos, the tattoo parlor. Okay, what's your question? Or was that it?
Okay, yes, you do see an increase. Thank you.
Give him a white one, too. Oh, well, he's got one. Okay.
Oh, that's for Todd.
Quit babbling. What's your question?
In the industry, of course, you're seeing more of a rise, I would say, in the home use market for purchasing new pinballs. But are you seeing any more increase in sales?
Yeah, I don't know. Proportionally, my suspicion is there's more home collectors and operators, but more and more my calls are coming from you know, vendors and amusement companies and stuff too. So that segment is growing. So it's going to be, the next few years is going to be damned exciting, that's for sure. It's like I was hearing rumors on Stern that their next few pins, not necessarily the music pin, but their next few are going to blow Ghostbusters out of the water. So can't wait to see what they're working on. I mean, I saw on their Facebook page at the Epic event tonight, they're going to have that Jaws shark. Well, Jaws has been rumored for a long time. Well, that's kind of letting it out of the bag that, yeah, we got a Jaws pin coming. So it's going to be exciting times. We had one more questions. Just a second. I got to get back this way. Gabe.
Do you know why Jersey Jack took everything out of the bottom and put it in the head? I mean, it seemed like a pretty good
system. My suspicion on Dialed In was that it's a narrow body. I don't know if it all fit. You know, that metal box pretty much fills it up, and you got room for cables on each side, and that's about it. And plus, I know with Hobbit, those pop-ups, you know, it'd have been so simpler to have been able to use something like a Medieval Madness Troll Mech, but because that box is there, you can't do it. And there are assemblies underneath the dialed-in playfield, and I didn't look at them, how deep they are, but games going forward, they're going to be able to have more, you know, crap on the playfield that's using up real estate down below because they got the big empty space again instead of having that big metal box there.
Yeah, I made reference to that, so that is something that was thought about.
Yep.
The real estate in the cabinet is twice the size of that. How do you fit it in?
Well, did you see the Dialed In with a back glass off?
I did, but just...
It just looks like a Williams pin now. Just, I mean, they just used every inch of it, just spread the boards around.
But the cabinet is twice the size, and that was filled.
Yeah, wide, any pinball, the head's always been a little bit wider than the body. You know, even like the Williams, the standard body and wide body, the heads are all the same width, so there's plenty of room up there. Maybe I'm not understanding this. What exactly are you babbling here, Gabe?
Square inches at the bottom of the cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
Square inches in the top box.
Yep.
They filled the bottom before, and now they're putting everything in the top.
I think the just a big thing was that they can do more with the play field with having that area available. Because you think about it, you know, like those pop-up mechanisms, why are they about 5-6 inches tall? If every assembly you make for a game is limited to less than 5 or 6 inches, you know, you're going to be designing a lot of custom crap that ain't going to work or shit. And I think the whole thing was that there was enough room in the head to do it. And you look in there and it doesn't look just, you know, wedged in with a shoehorn and just wire slapped all over. It looks clean and neat. So there obviously was enough room up there to do a good job.
So it's not a different system totally. It's the same system.
Yep. Yep. You got the motherboard. You got the I/O board. I believe the unified power supply board is in there. You got the audio board. I mean, when you look at a Williams back box, which is a very similar size, you know, you got your CPU, your power driver board, you know, all the other crap. So there's plenty of room back there. Want to give Gabe a mug? Oh, we had another. Yes, sir.
Are you the first point of contact with Jersey Jack?
That varies. When they first started out, once they got all the phones rolling, I was the first on the menu. I was the first one, extension 222. And then when Frank started, they took that away from me, unbeknownst to me. I mean, after about 6 weeks, I noticed my phone calls were, you know, tech support was dropping down. And I'm, you know, concerned. I start checking the internet connections, the phone, everything else. And I noticed when I called the extension 222, it wasn't going to me. And so I thought they had, you know, better let him know. And I emailed everybody, you know, Jack, Jen, Vinny, Sal was with them. I didn't even know Frank was with at that point. And different ones, you know, have we got a problem with the phone systems? Well, late in the day, Frank emails me that, well, we took that away from you 6 weeks ago, Lloyd. And you told me now. Okay. But then on the other side of the coin is because people you know, been calling me so long, they just use a direct internet number. Frank gets all the calls now. There was one little old lady had called like once a week. There are kids in the townhouse next door, and they shouldn't be playing there, and I'm paying a high price to the association every year, and you better do something to get. And I'd listen to this spiel every week, hoping that sooner or later she'd leave her phone number, and I could call her and tell her, and... Nope, but I mean, all the, you know, when you fix my bowler, you know, my jukebox doesn't work, and I got this bowler, and, you know, I just, you know, but Frank gets all that shit now, and when he said he took my phone number away, I was like, SCORE! So he gets, and now at some point, I don't know what they're going to do. See, they did them just put my direct number on the website. I don't know what they're going to do in the future because they are rebuilding the website and the phone system. So, and at one point, I had some people calling me, geez, I'm trying to call Frank for parts, and I'm getting a Toyota dealership. They put the wrong phone number up there. Oops. Glad you guys proofread this thing before you just made it live. So anyway, I don't know what the near future is going to be, but I mean, I'm rocking four phones there. I got the Chicago gaming phone, I got my private phone, I got the my internet phone, I got cell phone, and then of course there's email, private messages on Facebook, private messages on Pinside. It's not hard to run into me somewhere, but I would imagine as the time evolves here, because they are currently, Steve Somaya, the senior vice president, is working on a website today. So at some point in the future, I'll probably be back up there somewhere. And if not, Frank gets all the calls. There's nothing really bad about that. Did you give him a mug? We had another. Oh, yes, sir.
What's the craziest tech support request call you've ever gotten?
I think the ones that tried to get me fired, those are the funnest. That one, I knew there'd be a lot of idiots out there and a lot of people that shouldn't own games. And, not everybody gets along. You don't always have a repertoire with people. But the ones that wanted to get me fired were the funniest. I remember one guy that, if he didn't hear from somebody in 4 hours that he was what he was all going to do and he was going to call Jack and everything else, I gave him Jack's private cell phone number. Go ahead, call Jack. Get me fired. I don't care. I don't need this shit. But like I asked Charlie from Spooky Pinball here a few years back what he was going to do for tech support. And he kind of looked at me, and I don't think he ever really thought about the long-term plan on this stuff. And I said, what are you going to do when somebody calls you up and they can't, put 10 balls in a five-ball game, or they cut a printed circuit board in half with wire cutters? And he's like, people do that? Oh, I said, you haven't lived till you picked that phone up. There's nothing surprises me anymore. Well, why'd they do that? Oh, man, you don't even want to know. You just, my thing is to, get them back together, get them going. Then we're done. I don't need my email doubled. I don't need to know why. I just, can I give them a mug, please? Are we out of white ones?
No.
Oh. Special request. That's okay. Randy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if Jersey Jack has gone for out yet, but the Stern Tour, the boards have gone little tiny boards now, and underneath the play fields are like pretty much just circuit boards.
Mm-hmm.
Will the need for tech support be as great, do you think, in the future as all this?
I don't know, because, like your home computers, everything else, once they seem to be stable and working, a lot of this stuff just seems to go on for forever. Initially you might have a couple of Medieval Madness remakes. That little Beagle board had a couple of issues, and a couple of them were replaced. But it seems once they settle down, only time will tell. Because we are dealing with a commercially made product that was meant to be operated for 3 years and junked, and nobody foresaw people getting 20, 30, 40 years out of a game. So we just don't know what the future is going to hold. The one thing with the smaller boards and things like that, I think it's going to be easier for somebody down the road to, like the P3 system or something, be able to keep people going.
Plus and play replacements, basically,
yep.
At this point. I kind of asked him about that. Range,
yep.
That's really outdoor now to do something in the market.
Well, especially, you ain't going to sell a $15,000 pinball machine to be, hit the junk pile in 3 years.
I also asked, because you mentioned the $15,000, it's obviously Batman. They have the opportunity to buy it back in the first 2 years. I thought that was funny. Do you get full value back? Do they set the price? I mean,
yeah, what if I routed it for those 2 years? I'm sending it back dirty.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Because like when Costco was selling the Stern pins, and what was the time frame? It was like a year or something. Well, you could route it for a year, bring it back for full refund, and then you're giving Costco a blown out pin. Pardon?
It didn't have Quimex, and it had software that was different that would allow that.
Not the home pin. Costco had some full-fledged coin-op pins at one point. Yep. I saw another. Yes, sir.
What's your thoughts on the pricing?
Oh, man, I get wood when I think about this shit. I think it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It's not necessarily the best thing for the home market. It's not the next best thing to happen for the operators, for everybody else. But, if we're talking about me personally, fuck, sell them for $20,000 a piece. I don't give a flying fuck. Guys at home ain't going to be able to buy as many, so they're going to have to go out and play them. Operators ain't going to be able to buy as many, so I'm going to see competition going by the wayside. And for me, I think it's great. The other side of the coin is that kind of influx and that kind of money into the market, too, you know, we got a strong pinball industry going too, which is a big help. The downside is we also got a little economic problem going where we seem to be eroding the middle class. You're going to be a have or have not in the future in this country. And you're definitely going to want to be on that half side. You know, my ex was Ukrainian, half Russian, half Ukrainian, and there you're either a have or have not. There's no in between, and you do not want to be a have not in any times. Robert, did you give him a mug? Oh, good. Derek.
Yeah, I was just wondering, as a test operator, what were some of the most unique machines you had, you know, at SS Failures through the years, being a test operator, and, you know, which of those games were the most successful of some of those unique games you may have had?
It wasn't so much, you know, unique or anything. I mean, and I never really get excited till I hit the floor because, you know, sometimes the game happens, sometimes not. The one thing, there was a lot of differences. You know, like when I had the big moving Sega simulators video games, all mine were coming out of Tokyo. When they went into production, they were coming out of California. And those games were weird. They had kind of like an opposite ground on them or something. And when I hit it with a vacuum cleaner, like the whole lights in the building would dim, and I'd see a big spark in a vacuum cleaner. And then, of course, the first ones coming out, I don't know. You know, I didn't really work on any of the American-made Sega, you know, the big simulators, but the Japanese ones, first one I had to work on, none of my sockets or wrenches fit. This is all metric. And, of course, that time I had money, so it's like, cool, new tools. Oh, and also, you know, your average Japanese person's probably, what, 5 foot, 5 foot six, 100 pounds something. You know, a 240-pound fat American guy don't fit in these inspection ports or anything. I was upside down on the afterburner trying to crawl in the back of that thing. They had a little hole one time, and I damn near got stuck upside down in the damn thing. And yes, anybody that's acquiring, you know, the afterburner, you had the seat moved back and forth and the carriage moved up and down. You could have sex in that thing. I proved it. Well, just, you can't help but look at that and think that, I mean, I lived my life between my legs in junior high and high school and stuff, and I just, it could be done. I mean, I've done a lot of crazier, stupider, weirder thing. I mean, I never thought I'd see 40. I mean, I had just a horrendous amount of car wrecks, motorcycle accidents. I've always lived on the edge. I never thought I'd see 40, and unfortunately, you do live to see 40. Now I'm way past that, and then, you know, things don't, like when you're young. Anybody ever remember the old people talking about their aches and pains? Anybody remember anything, anybody saying about, you know, shit that quits working? I would have listened to that one. I mean, my knees don't work. What the fuck's this shit? So that kind of stuff I would have probably paid more attention. But, you know, and I was threatened to write the book, you know, the good times and the funny events, because I can't go anywhere without an adventure. And then the chapters to be filled in after I'm gone, because there's quite a few things I'm not real proud about. And statute of limitations might not be up on yet, but a friend of mine told me one time, you know, you've forgotten more fun than most people ever had. I've honest to God, I would not change a thing. I've really been blessed. You know, not just the coin out, but I mean just the wildlife. I've been, you know, really fortunate. Yes, sir?
Drunkest customer.
I'm sorry, what?
Drunkest customer.
Brokest? Drunk. Oh, well, I don't have alcohol in my business, so you don't run into that too much, but you do run into it. You know, about a year and a half ago one night, I had a tall African-American gentleman came in and fell down on the floor, scared the complete hell out of my little dog, and, you know, I'm dialing 911 before he even moved, and there's only one that ever really scared me. I wouldn't call him really drunk. He had a gallon of wine before he got there. He's about 6'4", 6'5", about 300 pounds, not an ounce of fat on him. I mean, his arms look like my legs. Ex-biker, one of the name gangs, and there's no such thing as an ex-biker. You're there for life. He was just out of prison for manslaughter for 10 years. It means he killed somebody with bare hands. He's in shooting pool with one of my good customer's sisters. That's where they found this idiot at. And he's over, and he missed a shot, and he took a cube of chalk, and he just crushed it in his hand. I mean, it's just dust come down. And he's over there cussing, swearing. I went over, and I was like, you know, sir, you're going to have to quiet down a little bit. I got, you know, ladies there. Fuck you! No problem. And, you know, a few days later, I had a couple of girls over there. They said, why don't you do something about that? Do what? I mean, I've been beat up real bad before, but this guy, if this guy gets a parking ticket, he's going back to jail for life. There's a look around. There is nothing in here worth dying over. I already know that. I mean, there's a time when you can win, and there's a time to just call it a day. And I was thinking at the time, thank God I didn't have the girlfriend or wife or something that you get in a situation that, this is going to hurt. Yes, sir, Gabe.
Have you been approached by American Football to do their tech support, and what are you thinking about?
I haven't heard anything. The short of it, it looks like Houdini, it looks like they're developing a good pin. My main interest in it, because I know quite a few people that lost money in that mess, if for some reason they get made whole or at least get some compensation out of it, I'm ecstatic about that. I mean, if I was going to start a company, I sure as hell wouldn't be picking up the pieces of somebody else's messes. I'd be trying to ad lib and grow on their problems, but that took $1.5-2 million out of the hobby or something. Them and Predator, and it put a hell of a dent out there. And if there's they build some quality games, and and the guy from I wasn't at the guy's seminar, but apparently he was point blank answering questions and didn't try to hide or bullshit his way or anything. And if people get something to show for what they've lost and stuff, I'm ecstatic about that. Yes, sir.
Worst investment you ever made?
The wife. No, on CoinOp, yeah, the wife hands down. That was, but fortunately. That whore is living with a rich guy from Minnesota and living out in Massachusetts now. Every couple of times I was out to Pentastic, I was thinking I should look her up and, ask Mr. Dolan, hey, you ever do a DNA check, see if that kid's yours? she dumped her fiancé the last 2 years of my marriage. She was married, engaged to a guy in Switzerland, and she dumped him to go with this guy. And I bet he doesn't know about the guy in Switzerland, so I thought that'd be nice to update that. And the one great thing, actually, the one, things always seem to work out for the best. You don't see it at the time, but they really work out for the best. A lot of your Eastern Bloc women are really hot when you're younger, but they don't always age gracefully. And I saw a more current picture of my ex, and she's going to end up looking like Mrs. Khrushchev. Well, thank God that bitch is gone. you never think of our world leaders as having a sense of humor. Years ago, there was a reporter interviewing Mao Zedong at the end of his life, and he asked him, it's a legitimate question, how do you think the world would be different today had Nikita Khrushchev been assassinated instead of John F. Kennedy? That's an interesting concept. And Mao thought for a while, and he said, that Aristotle Onassis would have never married Mrs. Khrushchev. You never think of our world leaders as having a sense of humor, but they're people too. Look at our upcoming election. There's some good humor there. Yes, sir. Oh, back there, Bob's got a question. Oh. Uh-oh, hang on a second. Is that the sign? Oh, that's the sign. And we gotta get these questions in quick. We gotta wrap it up a few minutes early because we got off to a late start. Any other great questions?
Well, what was the worst coin op investment you made?
I don't know that I ever really had one because even as test operator and stuff, even as the dogs, I didn't lose on. I can't think off my. There's some like Gauntlet that paid for itself like in 8-10 days something. There's been some really great ones. But, I can't really think. I think one of the, standouts would have been Police Trainer 2. Police Trainer 1 I had for the longest time as a quarter banger and hauled in tons of money. Police Trainer 2, every time I went by it, the game was running. People would get so bored of it, they'd walk away from it. Oh, and Midway's War Gods. That was a 30-day wonder that made a great cabinet to convert to. Of all things, the designer, his mother and some lady stops in my business and asks me, how's it doing? This is a piece of shit. They should have never built it. Well, maybe you got to put it in a different location. I'm looking around the room. This is my only location. Where exactly do you think I should put it? Did you give Dave a mug? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do you have any advice for operators?
Yeah, don't do it. No, well, one thing, and I think anything you want to do, you want to do 100%. There's no such thing as a hobby op. You're either going to be an operator or not. You're going to be 24/7. Friday night, you sit down for dinner with a family. You're just going to start eating. Hey, that pinball's out of order again. Get down here and fix it. We're going to throw it out in the alley. You better be rocking and rolling. Burglars and fire and stuff don't sleep. That's 24/7. There's just, you got to have the money, you got to have the experience, and you got to be committed to it. It's not just, I'm going to put a game or two out and make some money and help me buy more pins, and you go collect, and what happened to the pin? well, them nice guys came in and took it out to clean it. You know, just, I mean, you really got it. And I think that's true of a lot of jobs, a lot of industries. You do got, you know, if you're not committed to it, you know, you just really reckon your chances for success. Yes, sir.
Many Jewish stunt in pockets, that sort of thing, who are left in Europe after problems with the insults, change in the carlos.
The European manufactured pins? I'm sorry. I don't really operate, or at least I haven't had any like the highway pinball or anything. I've not had them, so I can't really say anything about that. You know, good or bad, I just don't know. Yes, sir.
As an operator, and as far as pinball goes, what was your best find or discovery? Maybe it would give you a great game if you could buy one that turned out to be a rare game.
Well, there's been a few. Like as a test operator, a lot of my stuff is automatically rare because they change so much going to production. More currently, I think one of the best ones was I got one of the first 12 Pirates of the Caribbean. Right in front of the flippers, you got the red insert. And, Disney didn't like that, and so mine's red. Immediately, they had to change them to white. So you see a lot of little nuances like that. Any more questions before we wrap this up?
Have you ever lost any business because you have a dog in the business?
Yep. You know, the Somalis really hate dogs, so that's of course they're not really customers. So, but there's some people have had been bit by a dog or someone or a kid, but dog's all I got. I don't have any family or anything. Dog's all I got. She's staying. Anybody else wants a mug? Come on. Oh, yes, sir. No, I'm gonna have to replace it. I just haven't in a big hurry because we haven't had a real need for it yet. Because I've dumped all the small tournaments and stuff, and the pinball circus has been on hiatus. Not necessarily gone forever, but. Anyway, anybody else wants a mug, come on up and grab one. I want to thank you all for coming. I hope you have a great expo, because this is really a special year.